The surveillance camera is already recording when the car enters the parking lot, slowing as it crosses the empty rows and settles near the front of the closed store. The engine shuts off, and the driver remains inside, illuminated faintly by the dashboard glow as the early morning light begins to reach the horizon. Minutes pass without interruption, the lot still and quiet, until another vehicle appears and parks several spaces away. The driver steps out and walks directly toward the first car, not looking around and not hesitating as he reaches the driver's side door. The interior light turns on as the door opens, the vehicle pulls forward, and it disappears from the frame. The camera continues recording an empty space where a car had been moments earlier, and the name attached to that. Absences Naomi Arion. I am a detective with the Leon County Sheriff's Office, and in early 2022, Fernley was the kind of town defined more by routine than by landmarks. It sits east of Reno along Interstate 80, bordered by open desert and long stretches of highway that many residents travel before sunrise for work. Distribution centers, warehouses, and industrial facilities operate on schedules that begin long before daylight, and for people who live there, early mornings are ordinary rather than exceptional. Naomi Arion was part of that rhythm. She was 18 years old and lived with her family in Fernley, working at a distribution facility outside town where early shifts were normal. She was known by her family and employer as dependable, someone who arrived early rather than late, and followed a consistent routine. That consistency mattered later, because it gave us a clear baseline for what was normal in her life and what was not. On the morning of March 12, 2022, Naomi left home before sunrise, as she had many times before. There were no reports of conflict at home, no indication that anything about that morning was different from any other workday. She drove alone and carried her phone, planning to go to work and return home afterward. According to her family, there were no unusual plans and no reason to expect she would deviate from her routine. Naomi sometimes arrived at work early and waited in her car rather than going straight inside, using the time to rest or prepare for the shift. One of the places she occasionally waited was the Walmart parking lot in Fernley, which remained accessible even when the store itself was closed. Employees from nearby businesses parked there in the early hours, and delivery vehicles passed through, making it a location that did not stand out as unusual at that time of day. That morning, Naomi parked her car near the front of the store and remained inside. There were no calls for help, no messages sent, and no reports from anyone nearby that suggested a disturbance. At the time, nothing about her presence in the parking lot appeared out of place, and no one had reason to notice her beyond the fact that a car was parked there before dawn. Concern began when Naomi did not arrive at work. Her employer noticed quickly, because her absence did not match her usual behavior and she had not called to report being late. When attempts to contact her failed, her family was notified and began trying to reach her as well. Those efforts also failed, and within hours, her family contacted law enforcement to report her missing. From the start, the situation did not fit the pattern of a delayed arrival or a simple misunderstanding. Naomi's phone was no longer responding, and more significantly, her vehicle was missing. She had driven to the parking lot, but her car was not there when family members checked, which immediately elevated the concern. We were no longer looking for someone who had simply gone off schedule, but for a person and a vehicle that had both vanished. Our initial focus was location, and the Walmart parking lot became central almost immediately. The area was covered by surveillance cameras that recorded continuously, providing a fixed view of the lot without sound or motion tracking. We requested the footage and began reviewing it from well before Naomi's arrival, not looking for a crime at first, but for context. Understanding what the parking lot looked like before anything happened was important, because it established the normal flow of vehicles and activity at that hour. As we reviewed the footage, nothing stood out at first. Cars passed through, some parked briefly, and others left without incident, all consistent with an early morning in Fernley. When Naomi's car entered the frame, it did not draw attention. She parked, stayed inside, and waited, behavior that matched what her family had described. There were no warning signs and no visible indicators that something was about to change. That absence of warning became one of the defining elements of the case. From an investigative perspective, there was no clear point at which intervention might have been possible, because nothing in the record suggested danger until the moment it occurred. The camera did not capture fear or hesitation, only routine giving way to interruption, and that transition happened quickly. By the time we finished reviewing the footage from before the abduction, it was clear that the events leading up to Naomi's disappearance were ordinary in every observable way. Her actions were consistent with her habits, the location was familiar, and the environment was quiet. The story at that point was not about what went wrong, but about how little there was to indicate that anything would. That understanding shaped everything that followed, because it meant the investigation would hinge on a narrow window of time captured on video, a few minutes that separated normal routine from irreversible change. When we turned our full attention to the surveillance footage, the focus shifted from establishing normalcy to isolating the exact sequence of events that changed everything. The cameras covering the Walmart parking lot were fixed and wide, designed to observe rather than react, and they recorded continuously without sound. They did not follow motion or flag unusual behavior, which meant every detail had to be identified through repeated viewing and careful synchronization across angles. Naomi's vehicle entered the frame shortly after 5 a.m. and parked near the front of the closed store, remaining still as she stayed inside. For several minutes, nothing happened beyond the ordinary movement of distant vehicles passing through the lot, and this period mattered because it confirmed that Naomi was alone and undisturbed before the encounter. The environment remained quiet, and no one approached her vehicle during that time. Another vehicle entered the lot a short while later and parked several spaces away from Naomi's car, positioned close enough to reach her on foot but not so close as to draw attention. The driver exited and immediately began walking toward Naomi's vehicle without hesitation or visible distraction, a detail that became clearer with each review of the footage. His movement was direct and uninterrupted, and nothing in his behavior suggested uncertainty or surprise. As he reached the driver's side door, the camera captured his arm moving and the door opening, followed by the interior light turning on. The footage does not show a weapon, raised voices, or visible resistance, and it provides no audio to clarify what was said or understood in that moment. What is visible is Naomi shifting across the seat, her movement detectable through the windshield, and the man entering the driver's seat before closing the door. The vehicle then pulled forward and exited the camera's field of view, completing the interaction in a span of less than 2 minutes from the man's approach to departure. The speed of the sequence became one of the defining features of the case, because it demonstrated how quickly routine could be interrupted without drawing attention from anyone nearby. The second vehicle remained parked for a short time, confirming that the man did not abandon his own car, but instead returned to it only after Naomi's vehicle had already left the lot. We reviewed footage from multiple cameras to confirm this sequence, synchronizing timestamps to ensure accuracy and eliminate the possibility of misinterpretation. From every angle available, the sequence remained consistent, showing approach, entry, movement within the vehicle, and departure, followed by the parking lot returning to its earlier state. No one else entered the frame in response, and no visible reaction occurred among other vehicles or pedestrians in the area. From an investigative standpoint, the footage established several critical facts. It confirmed the point of abduction, the transfer of control over Naomi's vehicle, and the precise window during which she disappeared. It did not, however, provide information about what happened once the car left the lot, nor did it show whether Naomi believed she was in immediate danger or understood the situation unfolding around her. Those gaps would remain throughout the investigation. The next step involved extracting every possible detail from the footage that could support identification. We isolated still images of the man's posture, clothing, and movements, as well as the make and model of the vehicle he drove. Although the footage was clear enough to establish sequence, it was limited in resolution for facial identification, which meant we had to rely on additional sources to move forward. Public release of the footage was handled carefully, because timing mattered and accuracy was critical. We prepared still images and vehicle descriptions and coordinated with neighboring jurisdictions before releasing information to the public. Once the images were made public, tips began coming in almost immediately, ranging from vague observations to specific leads that helped narrow our focus. One of those leads identified a man named Troy Driver, who lived in Fallon, Nevada, a town east of Fernley connected by open highway. The distance between the two locations was easily drivable within an hour, which aligned with the window established by the surveillance footage and early investigative findings. We verified Driver's identity confirmed his vehicle matched what was seen in the footage, and began tracking his movements on the morning of the abduction. Additional evidence supported what the footage suggested. License plate reader data placed driver's vehicle along routes consistent with travel from Fernley toward Churchill County, and cell phone records showed a cessation of activity from Naomi's phone shortly after the abduction occurred. There were no outgoing calls or messages after that point, reinforcing the timeline established by the video. Naomi's vehicle was later recovered, abandoned outside of Leon County, confirming that she had been taken away from the area shortly after leaving the parking lot. The condition and location of the vehicle provided further context, but did not answer the central questions about what occurred between the abduction and its abandonment. Those details would have to be established through other means. Throughout this phase of the investigation, the surveillance footage remained the anchor point, the moment where routine gave way to disruption, and where the last confirmed sighting of Naomi, alive, occurred. Every lead, search effort, and evidentiary review traced back to those minutes in the parking lot, because they defined both the start of the crime and the limits of what could be directly observed. The footage showed a quiet place, an ordinary morning, and a brief encounter that altered the course of the investigation entirely. It documented the moment control changed hands and provided the foundation for identifying the person responsible. What it did not show, and could not show, was the sequence that followed after the vehicle disappeared from view, leaving investigators to rely on physical evidence, records, and corroboration to complete the picture. By the time driver was located and taken into custody, the footage had already established its role as the central record of the crime's beginning. It was clear, consistent, and unchanging, and it provided certainty about the moment Naomi's routine ended. Everything that followed would expand outward from that point, but the tape itself would remain the same, a fixed account of the moment when ordinary circumstances gave way to irreversible consequences. Once the abduction was established and the suspect identified, the investigation shifted fully toward recovery and accountability, with the understanding that time no longer worked in our favor. Search efforts expanded beyond Leon County into Churchill County and surrounding areas, guided by vehicle data, license plate reader information, and the known movements associated with Troy Driver. The terrain in this region is vast and remote, marked by open desert, dirt roads, and long stretches without development, which made coordinated searches necessary and resource-intensive. Law enforcement agencies from multiple jurisdictions joined the effort, along with state and federal partners, and organized ground searches in areas connected to drivers' travel routes. Aerial searches were conducted where possible, scanning desert terrain that could not be covered efficiently on foot. Volunteers assisted under direction, and every credible lead was logged and followed, even when the likelihood of recovery was uncertain. Throughout this phase, Naomi's vehicle had already been recovered abandoned, confirming that she had been taken away from Fernley shortly after the abduction, and that the crime extended well beyond the parking lot where it began. On March 25, 2022, Troy Driver was located and taken into custody without incident. At the time of his arrest, Naomi had not yet been found, and the case remained a missing person investigation with confirmed abduction. Driver was charged with kidnapping, and he was held without bail as the search continued. His arrest stabilized the investigation by removing the immediate threat, but it did not provide answers about Naomi's whereabouts or condition. Search operations continued in the days following the arrest, focusing on remote areas consistent with driver's known movements and vehicle activity. On April 6, 2022, human remains were discovered in a secluded desert location in Churchill County, accessible by vehicle but distant from populated areas. The remains were recovered and transported for forensic examination, and identification was later confirmed through established methods. Naomi Irion was 18 years old. The determination of cause of death was made through examination and documented in official reports. Those findings were not contested and became part of the evidentiary record. From an investigative standpoint, the recovery answered the central question of where Naomi had been taken, but it did not provide a complete timeline of events between the abduction and her death. There was no recording of what occurred after the vehicle left the Walmart parking lot, and no witnesses to those moments, leaving parts of the sequence permanently outside the record. With Naomi recovered and driver in custody, the case moved through the judicial process. Evidence gathered during the investigation was organized and presented, including the surveillance footage, vehicle data, forensic findings, and corroborating records. The footage from the parking lot remained central, not because it showed the full crime, but because it established the beginning with clarity and precision. It showed opportunity, control, and timing, all of which were essential to the charges that followed. Driver ultimately entered a guilty plea to first-degree kidnapping resulting in death. The plea removed the need for a trial and the presentation of testimony in open court, sparing Naomi's family from hearing details repeated publicly. Sentencing followed, and Driver received a sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. From a legal standpoint, the case reached its conclusion at that point, with responsibility formally assigned and punishment determined. For investigators, the closing of a case does not erase its unanswered elements. We document what can be proven and acknowledge what cannot. In this case, the evidence proved how Naomi was taken, where she was taken, and who was responsible. It did not establish her thoughts, her understanding of the situation, or the precise sequence of events after the vehicle disappeared from the camera's view. Those details are not preserved in any recording and are not accessible through evidence. The surveillance footage remains unchanged, no matter how many times it is reviewed. It shows a quiet parking lot, an ordinary morning, and a brief encounter that altered the course of multiple lives. It does not show fear or resistance, and it does not show what Naomi said or believed in that moment. It records actions without context and movement without explanation, providing certainty and limitation at the same time. From the perspective of the investigation, the footage marks the boundary between what is known and what must be inferred through corroboration. Everything before it is routine, supported by family accounts and documented habits, and everything after it is reconstructed through evidence gathered elsewhere. The tape itself sits at the center, unchanged and complete in what it offers, incomplete in what it cannot. Naomi Irion left home that morning, expecting to go to work and return afterward, following a routine that had given no indication of danger. She was last seen alive in a place that appeared ordinary and uneventful, recorded without sound or warning. The investigation that followed answered many questions but did not restore what was lost, and it could not fully account for every moment between departure and discovery. The file is now closed, and the legal process has ended, but the record remains fixed in those few minutes captured on video. The parking lot still exists, and the cameras still record each day without interruption, documenting routine movements that pass without notice. What happened that morning will always be tied to that brief sequence, a moment when normal circumstances shifted without explanation. The tape shows what it was able to show, and no amount of review will add to it. What lies beyond the frame remains outside the record, unrecorded and unreachable, and that is where the story ends.